Lord, let us be like the two people on the road to Emmaus. Let our hearts burn as Tim brings the word to us. And let it be as if Jesus is speaking through him to us and into our hearts and into our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Good to be with you this morning. What a joy it is, actually, this morning. I just woke up thinking, wow, this morning I get to be with my brothers and sisters worshipping you, Jesus, this morning. And I just find it such a joy to be here. I don't say it often enough, but what a joy it is to be worshipping together this morning. This morning I want to explore with you a subject which is relevant to every single one of us. And it's this: how do we find healing from trauma? How do we find healing from those painful and distressing things that happen to us in life? And that's a very live question for a great many people today, because there are so many people who are struggling with the impact of traumatic events in their lives. People who struggle, who've been struggling often for many years, even decades. Lots of people living with emotional wounds, which are painful. And we might not see the wounds, because they can be buried deep within. But we can see the impact they have, can't we? We can see the impact in depression, anxiety, anger, helplessness, addiction, and so on and so on. And this is an issue which touches us all. You may sit here thinking, well, I'm not an addict, or I'm not depressed. Okay, that's great, praise the Lord. But it is an issue which touches all of us, because we've all experienced painful times in our lives, haven't we? And if, by God's grace, we haven't yet really experienced anything deeply painful, well, the chances are we will at some point. We will at some point. It might be the relationship breakdown. It might be the death of a loved one, an accident, or a sudden illness, or something that someone else has done to us, which has shattered our trust in other people, or even in God. It might be something recent, or it could be something which happened many, many years ago. Because the truth is that traumatic events, those painful things that happen to us, can seriously impact our lives and shape the way we view the world, the way we view other people, and the way we view God. And we know, don't we, at least in our heads we know, that God doesn't want us to be nursing those wounds for the rest of our lives. He wants to heal them. He wants us to be free, to have life in all its fullness. But how can we enter into that healing and freedom, that life in all its fullness? That's what I want to explore together this morning as we unpack this reading from Luke's Gospel that we've just heard read to us. Because in that reading, we encounter two people who were deeply, deeply traumatized. They'd witnessed something so terrible that it doesn't bear thinking about. Their best friend, their hero, had been betrayed, arrested, roughed up, unjustly condemned, flogged, tortured, humiliated, and then nailed to a cross to die, where he died publicly in immense pain, spiritual and physical pain. And they had seen it, and they'd been completely powerless to do anything about it. And as they're on their way down the road to Emmaus, trying to process what had happened, they're led on another journey. Not just a physical journey to Emmaus, but a journey from trauma to healing. A journey from trauma to healing. And that's the journey that God wants to lead us on to. If you are nursing wounds from the past, painful things that have happened to you, God wants to lead you on that journey from trauma to healing. And there are 5 points that I want to draw out from this passage, which are going to help us as we embark upon that journey this morning. And the first is this: Jesus is closer than you realize. He's closer than you realize. We read in verses 15 and 16 of our passage this morning that as the two friends were walking to Emmaus and talking about everything that had happened, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus was right there with them, but they didn't realize it until later. And you know, there have been times in my life when I've been struggling with stuff and I've felt alone. And I didn't realize that Jesus was with me at the time. But now, looking back, I can see that he was. Because here's the wonderful news, everybody. If you haven't heard it before, you weren't here last week. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And he promises to be with us no matter what, whether we realize it or not. So if you're going through a tough time right now and you feel alone, know that Jesus is with you. He is with you. He's much closer to you than you realize. That's the first point. Jesus is closer than we realize. Here's the second. It's good to talk. Who was it? It was that old BT advert. Remember, Bob Hoskins, it's good to talk. Apologies if you're under 40, you won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But it's good to talk. And when Jesus comes alongside these two friends, he does something really strange. He asks them a question. He says, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they're probably thinking, you're a bit nosy, aren't you? But anyway, no. He asks them that question, and the two of them are so surprised by his question that it literally stops them in their tracks. They stand still, and they look downcast, it says. Because suddenly, the horror of what they'd experienced, what they'd witnessed, confronts them again as they're compelled to explain to a stranger the shocking news of 2 days back. And one of them, Cleopas, says to him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus replies, what things? Now, have you ever wondered why Jesus did that? Why did Jesus say, what things? Why did he ask them to tell him what had happened? Had he forgotten? No, I don't think so. You know, if it had been me, if I'd have been Jesus in that situation, I'd have jumped in to explain everything to them there and then. Guys, you're upset. Listen, don't worry. Listen, let me tell you, it's me, and let me tell you what this is all about. When someone I care for is upset about something, my natural tendency, and maybe some other people here can relate to this, my natural tendency is to step in and provide the solution, or at least an explanation. Anybody else do that? Yeah, and it drives Abby absolutely mad. Absolutely mad. She'll say, Tim, I don't want you to fix this. I don't want you to give me the solution. I just want you to listen to me. In other words, I just want to talk, I just want to tell you. Because actually, when we're in distress, when we're in pain, our most pressing need is to express how we're feeling. And it's by talking about what we've experienced that we can begin to process it, begin to make sense of it. And many of you will know that there was a time in my life when I was in my mid-20s, when I was struggling big time. I was overwhelmed with grief for my dad, who died when I was 17 years old. And I hadn't talked about it at the time, really. I just bottled it up because I wanted to get on with life. Grieving just seemed inconvenient and weak. So I bottled it up. But now, 8 years later, it was coming out and it was destroying me. And it was only by bringing my feelings to the surface and talking about them with my mum and also with a counsellor that I was able to work out what was going on and begin my own journey from pain, from trauma, to healing. And Jesus knows that's what we need. Of course he does. And I'm pretty sure that's why he asks the two friends to tell him what's happened. Because he wants them to speak it out so that they can begin to process the trauma that they've experienced and move towards healing. And Jesus wants that for us too. He wants us to go on that journey. And yes, of course, he knows everything. He knows everything about your pain. He knows everything about the circumstances in your life which have caused you distress. He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going through now. But he still wants you to talk to him about it. He still wants you to vocalize what's happened. so that he can help you to process it and help you to find healing. And you know, although talking with my mum and talking with a counsellor definitely helped, and I recommend it to anybody, please talk to other people, talk to somebody who's skilled at listening. That really helped me when I was at my lowest, but the thing which really moved me forward in my journey of healing was talking to Jesus about the pain that I felt. And so that's the second point, talk to him. It's good to talk. Be completely real with him. Tell him how you feel. Even if you're angry with him, tell him how you feel, because he can take it. Because it's only by sharing your pain to him, with him, that you'll open yourself up to his healing touch. If you're keeping it bottled up inside, you've got like a defensive wall. But if you start to talk about it, talk to him, then you open yourself up to his healing touch. That's point two. Point number three is this. It's good to talk, yes, but we need to listen. Because there's another reason, I believe, why Jesus wanted the two friends to tell him what they'd experienced. It's because their understanding was incomplete. Listen again to what they said in verse 19. It said, "It's about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. In other words, they recognized that Jesus was from God, that he spoke the words of God, and that he performed incredible signs and wonders. But they'd missed something absolutely essential. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And they had this sense that Jesus was the one who'd come, who was going to come to set his people free. But they totally missed what Jesus had told them about the way in which he was going to do that. And so now Jesus, although they don't recognize him, Jesus speaks to them. He says, "Guys, seriously, how thick are you?" I'm paraphrasing, but read what he actually says. Read what he actually says. It's pretty close. "Guys, seriously, how thick are you? Do you not believe what the prophets had said?" It says in verse 26, "Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as Jesus opened the scriptures to them, we read later on, their hearts burned within them. See, their understanding was incomplete, but guess what? So's ours. We don't fully understand God. We don't fully understand our circumstances. We don't understand why things are happening to us that have happened to us. And we need to allow God to speak his truth into our lives so that our faulty perspectives can be corrected. So how do we listen to God? It's not a rhetorical question. How do we listen to God? Come to church. Good start. Yeah. How do we listen to God? But through praying. Yeah, so we talk and we listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us as we pray. Yeah. Not, we can listen to things on the radio. Yeah. Yeah. Who said that? Read his word. Read his word. That's the main way of listening to God, is by reading his word, or listening to his word if we can't read it. And you know, as we commit to doing that, as we commit to reading this book every day if we can, then we too will find our hearts burning within us as we hear God speak directly into our lives and our situations, whatever it is we're going through. Put your hands up if you've ever experienced that. You've been reading the word of God and all of a sudden it's felt like the words have jumped off the page, because this is a message for you. It speaks directly into your situation. Lots of us. So can I encourage us, please, keep doing it. Invest in the word, read in the word, because as we do that, we hear God speak to us. That's the third point. The fourth point is this. Pursue intimacy. Pursue intimacy. You know what I find interesting? Even though those two friends, their hearts were burning within them as they were walking down the road and Jesus was explaining the scriptures to them, they still didn't recognize him, did they? Even though their hearts were burning, they still didn't recognize him. In fact, as we remember in verse 16, as we listened to earlier, it tells us that they were kept from recognizing him. It's not that they didn't just that they didn't recognize him. They were kept from recognizing him. In other words, it seems like Jesus didn't want them to recognize him when he first came alongside them on the road. And it's only after they invite Jesus to come and stay with them that they finally realize who he is. Because Jesus looked like he was going to part company with them. He was going to go on the journey. And they said, no, stop. Come with us, it's getting late. Come to stay with us. And he did. And as they gather round the table for an evening meal, Jesus takes bread. He thanks God for it. He breaks it and he gives it to them. And in that moment, we read, in that moment, their eyes are opened. And what do they see? They see the same hands which had taken bread, broken it, and fed 5,000 people on a hillside in Galilee. The same hands which had taken bread, broken it, and distributed it at his final meal 3 nights before. The same hands, only this time changed. Because now they bear the scars of his suffering. The holes made by the nails which had pierced him and pinned him to the cross. And that was how Jesus chose to reveal himself to them. Through the marks of his suffering, which showed the matchless depths of his love for them and for us. Because that's how Jesus reveals his love for us too, as the one who loves us so much that he was willing to suffer and die in our place, in my place, in your place. But like the two friends, we will only truly experience that if we seek intimacy with him. Not just a quick prayer every now and then or when we get into a scrape. No, but rather making space in our lives for him every day to invite him to come and be with us. To come and fill our lives with his presence. To invite him to be Lord of all our lives. To treasure time spent with him more than anything else in the world. More than Facebook, more than TV, more than Wordle, whatever else it is that you spend time doing. To treasure that time with Jesus more than anything else. And the wonderful thing is, the more we do that, as we do that, we discover for ourselves the limitless love of God, the one who entered into our suffering and understands our pain, and by whose wounds we are healed. And as we seek that intimacy with him, and as we surrender to his love, we encounter the power of his resurrection. And those same hands reaching out to us, bringing us healing from all our wounds. That's the fourth point, intimacy, pursue intimacy. The final point is this, share what you've experienced with others. You know, the two who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus were so amazed and overjoyed by their encounter with the risen Jesus that as soon as he disappeared, they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. They weren't bothered about the fact that it was getting dark now. No, they were up and out going back to Jerusalem. Why? Because they couldn't wait. They couldn't wait to tell others what they'd experienced, what had happened to them. But when they got there, they found out it wasn't just them who'd met Jesus. Simon Peter had too. And you can imagine, can't you, the joy and the excitement in the room as they shared their experiences together of meeting Jesus. Imagine the impact on their faith in that moment and their understanding of God's purposes in the world. Imagine how every single one of them would have been built up and had their courage renewed and would have grown in the love of God. Why? Because they'd heard, even if they hadn't yet met Jesus themselves, risen Jesus yet, they'd heard how other people had, and it built up their confidence and their faith. And it's the same with us. You know, the more we share the amazing things that God has done in our lives, the more our faith is built up as we share that news with other people, but so is the faith of other people as they hear. And we're equipped to live for Jesus in the world. That's why we have our testimony slots in our Sunday morning services most weeks. It's to build up our faith in Jesus and our confidence in God's victory, that God is not dead, Jesus is not dead, he's alive and he's at work in our world and in our lives. But Let's not just do that in church on a Sunday morning and from the front. Let's do that at coffee time when we finish our service. Talk to people about what God's been doing. Let's do it with our friends and our family. Let's do it in our small groups. Let's share the good news of what God has been doing. Let's share our testimonies so that we're all built up and encouraged. And if you're not in a small group, talk to me. I'd love you to be in one so that you can have that opportunity. Because as we share what we experience, we won't just find healing for our own wounds. We'll lead others into healing too. And isn't that what we're about? So as I wrap up, I wonder, what are the wounds that you're carrying? How do you need to experience God's healing touch today? Remember, Jesus is closer than you realize. He wants you to talk to him about everything you've been through and how it's made you feel. He wants to speak to you through his word and by his Holy Spirit. And he's just waiting for you to open the door of your heart so that he can reveal his love to you again in a deeper way. And he's holding out those same hands to you right now, those hands which were wounded for you, so that you can find healing in him and know the power of his resurrection in your life. So why don't you stand and let's pray together as the band come up. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you that you were wounded for us, that you suffered in our place. And you extend your hands of healing to us now. And as we sing this song, Lord, we just want to receive all that you long to give to us. We receive your healing and we invite you, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.